Answering your tough financial questions for the past 21 years, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters with co-hosts Scott Hanson and Pat McLean.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Glad you are with us as we talk about the world of finance and helping you make wise choices with your money. Both myself and my co-host here, Pat, we're both financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. Basically just means that we have the experience and education as financial advisors, and we're still practicing advisors, and come here on the weekends to be your financial advisor on the air. So if you'd like to be part of the program, our contact number to join us on a question regarding anything financial, whether it's do you have enough money saved for retirement, or is your state plan set up properly, or how do you take the right kind of income stream for your retirement accounts? What accounts do you take from first?
Or should I pay off my mortgage, especially in light of the changes in the standard deduction in tax law?
You know, it'd be interesting, Pat. So, yeah, to join us, 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. And numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766. It'll be interesting after this. When people actually do their taxes and see the impact, for the majority of people, it's a tax deduction, even with the elimination of some of the standard state income taxes, you know, the limitations on it now. But there's a percentage of taxpayers in the high tax states such as California, New York, New Jersey that are going to have a tax increase.
Oh, there's no question. And there's a lot of people that haven't paid their mortgage off thinking that this tax deduction has some sort of value to them.
And they won't, it'll no longer have a,
it will have no, it will
cause
have
the standard deduction so large.
Yes. Yes.
What, $24,000?
And I wonder if the tax preparers or the accountants are actually pointing that out to people.
They say what, only something like 91 or 92% of taxpayers going forward are going to take a standard deduction.
Right. So
less than 10%.
So the deductibility of a mortgage is for the vast majority of the people that have mortgages, it means nothing. There's no deductibility.
If you're married, the standard is $24,000.
Yeah. And that's not your payments. Remember, it's the interest.
So you've got the interest. You're limited on your state income taxes and your property
up
taxes.
Up to $10,000.
So even if you're paying a fortune in those things,
you're probably, so you think, well, my interest rate is so low. Why do I pay? This is what, when we do this 7 personal decision points, which we've done the last, you know, year and a half, one of the questions is, well, why would you recommend anyone pay off their interest, their home, if the interest rate's so low? You go, well, it depends on what
you're earning.
Earning, yeah, right. On the money that you'd use to pay off the house.
Anyway. It'll be interesting to see this tax season. Yeah, see what happens.
Yes. If the government ever catches up. Right?
Oh, my. Yeah. If the government ever. What a strange time we live in. This too shall pass.
Yes.
There'll be a time in the future. I don't know what'll be the catalyst for it, but
yes.
It might not be something good. But anyway. Today's a good day, so let's just focus on today.
And let's take some phone calls.
Yeah, let's start off in Sacramento.
Did we give our number out?
I did,
already?
Yes. I just did a minute ago.
I need to start listening.
1-888-2-HANSON, 1-888-2-HANSON. We're talking with Maureen in Sacramento. Maureen, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Maureen, our pleasure.
So we are finally at a point, my husband and I, where we're maxing out our retirement plans. I have a 401k and he has a simple IRA. And so we need to save more for retirement. We kind of were late starters. And so I was looking for where to put some extra money. I thought about doing a backdoor Roth, but the investment company that I called to talk to about that said they didn't think that was a good idea.
And, Why? Wait, let's stop there for a second.
Because of the tax. Well, I don't know, you know, in detail, but basically it was going to be taxed too high.
Oh, let's talk about this. Okay, so that's one thing we're going to talk about, which is a backdoor Roth. So we're going to make a list of things to talk about.
Okay, backdoor Roth. They tried to They tried to steer me towards annuities, but I was uncomfortable with that.
Okay, good for you.
And so now I'm thinking, where should I open a brokerage account? Should I do a Roth or a IRA, or should I just keep saving money in a money market?
So your husband, is your husband self-employed?
Yes.
And does he have any employees?
He has one employee.
Okay.
Okay.
And you said how old are you, Maureen?
I'm closing in on 50.
Will you be 50 this year?
Yes.
Okay. So your 401k this year, because you're turning 50 this year, you can do the catch-up provision?
Right. I plan to do that.
Okay. So you're already you're cranking out the 401k, obviously.
Okay.
Trying hard, yeah.
Do you have other IRAs from the past?
Yeah, I have some. I have about 300,000 in the IRA rolled over from previous employers.
Okay.
That's why they told you not to do the backdoor Roth.
Okay.
And the reason is because if you make a IRA contribution and then convert it to a Roth, you're going to have to do it proportionately as a taxable event. So the money that you put into the IRA and then convert it to a Roth, most of it would be taxable because you commingled it. There's a way around it, and it's pretty cumbersome. Which is, you could take your IRA and move it to your company 401k.
It's not worth it.
If it allows it. That's why I said it could be, it's pretty cumbersome. So I don't know if I
If it was a $30,000 IRA, we'd probably be pushing that.
$300,000. Yeah.
The 401ks tend to be more restrictive.
Yeah. Yes. I would stay away from the annuity. I think that's appropriate.
What do you owe on your home?
Oh, we don't own a home. That's one of the issues. I've got 20% saved up now, but we went through a foreclosure, and so we're going to be taking a mortgage payment into retirement.
So,
assuming we buy a house at some point.
Is there any money outside of IRAs or 401ks anywhere?
20% saved.
Yeah, we've got 20% saved in a money market account.
And how much is that?
So we've got about $140,000.
You know, I would keep saving in that.
I would too.
Because if you're about 50, right? So let's say you guys in the next year or two find the house you want, that you're going to be in there for a long time. The right thing to do, and maybe, is say, let's figure out how to get this paid off over the next 14 or 15 years to get you, so it's paid off by the time you hit retirement. Or if not paid off, at least paid significantly down.
Yeah, I agree with Scott. I would keep pushing that money into the cash account, and I'm hoping that you use an online bank with high rates on that cash.
I don't. Should I?
Yes.
If you go to
rates have come up quite a bit in the last year.
If you go to bankrate.com and you look for money markets that are FDIC insured.
Money market demand accounts, MMDAs.
Yeah, and their money markets.
MMDA.
Yeah, and they'll just call them you'll look at them, their money, they call them money markets or money market demand accounts, and they're FDIC insured. And the difference between that and the local branch is the local branch. And what you'll typically see is a yield on those money markets account that is significantly higher than what you're going to get at a branch bank.
Yeah, they're around 2% right now.
Yeah, right around 2%. Where
it's not great, but it's.
But what are you getting at the bank? You know, 0.5%,
not
0.25%.
Yeah, probably around there.
Let's say you owned a home, or let's say you said, well, what's another place just to save some money? I think we'd say look at just either an S&P 500 fund or a total stock market index fund. That would be my preference over an annuity where you're locking your money up till 59 and a half, and the way the taxation of the annuity is.
Even there, Scott, with someone like that, I would actually go through the 7 personal decision points and see if you should be accelerating the payments on the house so that the day you retired, the home is paid for. Much like you said, Scott. So if you get into a home.
And how much home should they really look at affording right now?
She's putting the maximum into her 401k, simple IRA. Good savers, $300,000 in an IRA. I assume that you went through a foreclosure or bankruptcy having to do with the recession. That would be my guess. You didn't do what most people would have done, which is tap that IRA, or maybe you did, but you didn't do it to a great degree. I think that at a minimum, go to our website and go through the 7 personal decision points tutorial.
You've got a financial advisor now that manages the $300,000 for you. Is that right?
It's No, I'm doing it on my own.
Okay.
That, and my husband has an IRA as well, so that's kind of that's mine.
I just wonder why someone recommended an annuity.
Yeah, who recommended the annuity?
Fidelity.
Oh, yes. So you went to one of the branch offices.
Right.
And
that's,
you,
that's where my IRA is.
Yeah. You know,
those branch representatives get paid. Their comp is based upon the products they sell.
That is right. In fact, right. let's.
We'll talk about this.
I pulled this article, Brokers Fight to Keep Their Pay Perks, which talks exactly about.
Securities Exchange Commission is trying to do something about it.
About
in 2019.
You know, quite frankly, you could use, you've got, unfortunately, you've got a salesperson trying to help you with your finances. You need a financial advisor.
Right. Okay.
I mean, someone that, you've got $300,000.
Plus your husband's got an IRA. And your plus you're contributing the max to your 401k.
You would be
trying to figure out if you what kind of house you should buy when and all that sort of stuff.
You would be considered a good client to any firm that was interested in your long-term well-being. And someone that is trying to sell you an annuity is not interested in your long-term well-being. Just telling you that straight out.
Yeah, I don't. It seems crazy.
Yeah.
Particularly when they're.
Well, and let me ask you: did they ask any of the sort of types of questions that we asked when you sat down with them?
No.
There you go. There you go.
Right.
You called a radio show.
Even better.
You got better advice than you did from a national firm where that has a big, beautiful office.
Right. Okay.
Just out of curiosity, what office did you go to? Where's the office?
I didn't actually go into the office. I usually go into a branch here in Sacramento, but I called in.
All right, which just speaks volumes. You can actually sit down with a qualified advisor and actually get some real advice.
Buy an annuity.
Buy an annuity. That was terrible advice. That was
Here's why we don't like an annuity for you. Forget the fees of the annuity. Here's why I don't like
an annuity. Don't forget the fees of the annuity.
I'm just saying besides that.
Okay.
The money's locked up till 59 and a half.
With restrictions.
Right. So you already have all your retirement accounts locked up to 59 and a half. We don't know what the next 10 years are going to look like. You're talking about buying a home. Who knows if you want to repurpose those dollars towards that? So it's locked up. Secondly, the taxation of it, all the capital gain that you would have in there gets taxed as ordinary income, not capital gain.
Which is a much more preferable rate than ordinary income in most situations.
So you can use the annuity, buy, let's say, the S&P 500 fund. The thing doubles in value inside the annuity. All of that gain is taxed as ordinary income when you withdraw it.
And had it been just a plain S&P 500.
Taxed as capital gains.
And a full step up in basis at death, so it passes on to your heirs.
Tax-free. Which an annuity would not.
Okay.
And it would have been more expensive to do that. So that's just garbage advice, I mean, that they gave you. So you would benefit from a good financial advisor that would give you, that someone that you could stay with for 15, 20, 25
Independent.
Years. 25 years, right? I can tell you, I work with clients today. You can come see our firm or you could go see another firm, but I work
with clients.
You
can't hire Pat.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't want me as an advisor.
What, you got a handful of clients
still?
Yeah.
I'm pretty much full. We limit the amount of clients an advisor can work with, but I have clients that I've been working with for 25 years that were your age when I started with them. Absolutely. They're 75.
I've been shooed away from one or two places because of my age.
What
do you mean?
Too young. I'm not in the retirement age. I'm still in the accrual stage.
Well, that's
come
wrong.
Back later.
If you tell them you have $300,000 in an IRA and what your goals are, you're a perfect client.
Yeah.
Right.
You should be.
Yeah.
Anyone who's.
Yeah, and you were smart enough not to buy the annuity from the sales guy on the phone. So I'll give you that.
Right. Okay.
So yeah.
Keep socking it away in the money market, but go to an online where I can get a better rate.
Yeah, and if you go to bankrate.com,
as long as it's FDIC insured, you can care less.
Yeah, and as long as you're comfortable doing it remotely.
The bank goes out of business, doesn't matter, because the government's going to wire you the money within a week.
Yeah, and pay your student loans off. And everything else.
Free education for all. Free Medi-Cal, everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything. All right. Appreciate the call.
As long as it's insured. Yeah, thanks, Maureen. Glad you called.
Oh.
And, Pat, so these big firms, you've heard us talk a lot on this show about the importance of an independent fiduciary, someone who has got a legal obligation to put your interest ahead of their own. These big firms, some of them started out one way,
and changed. And changed.
The comp structure of the people that deal with the clients changes based upon the products they recommend. You ask someone at, you ask someone at Charles Schwab, you ask someone at Fidelity, is your compensation, is it change at all based upon the kind of products or services you recommend?
Were you asking them this, Scott? And who's asking them?
I'm just, well, whatever. It is. That's
you
the fact.
Could ask them.
Because I know the questions to ask.
The average consumer wouldn't even, first of all, wouldn't know what questions to ask or what to listen for. Because there's nuances in the answer. There's nuances in the answer. Well, not really. Or
I mean, the
kind
challenge
of,
is, I mean, look at the problem Wells Fargo got into a year ago, right? Yes. 2 years ago, whatever that was. Where they're falsifying accounts, just making up accounts so they can hit certain sales quotas.
What happened?
I had at the Wells Fargo branch, at the teller, I had to go in for something, and the woman said to me, I tend to keep a higher cash balance in my checking than maybe other people based upon some kids' college tuitions and stuff. And she says, well, she went and said about me moving it to somewhere else. I said, well, what's the problem? Why can't I just keep it here in the checking account? She says, well, just for safety purposes. Safety, she threw at me.
Safety?
She had no idea who I was, right?
Safety?
And I'm thinking, what the heck are you talking about? But one would expect your financial advisor not to try to make things up to sell you something, not to try to recommend something because he or she receives a larger commission or a larger
Scott,
bonus.
But that wasn't financial advice, and Maureen recognized that it was a salesperson. They didn't ask what her goals and objectives were. What are you trying to achieve? What do you have now? What are you trying to achieve? Then I'll make a recommendation that's suitable for you. They just were like, yeah. Putting
That's why we're big fans, though. Look, obviously, we're biased with our business model. There are other great advisory firms out there with our similar business model, registered investment advisors, that fee-based. They're not, their compensation has no implications on what products are sold.
Every marketplace that we're in, we know who those other firms are.
There's
as well.
Some good ones.
They're great ones, as I believe we are as well.
Yeah, and that's the, anyway. We tend to get a little hot sometimes when it's someone has a financial issue and they get pushed a product.
Big firm.
A big firm with a good reputation, good brand, big brand.
Yeah.
Spend a lot of money on the golf games and stuff, you know. Whatever they do spend
golf
money on.
Games.
I don't know. Okay, whatever. So how much golf I watch on television.
Football games, golf matches.
Just tennis saying. Match.
Maybe I'm wrong too. Who knows? But a bunch of
you don't watch golf either.
I watch golf sometimes.
Yeah.
We don't have a hard time sleeping. I take a nap, turn the TV on the weekend.
1-888-2-HANSON is, and we understand a lot of people enjoy watching golf. 1-888-2-HANSON. We are in Northern California talking with Don. Don, you're with Hanson McLean.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Don. How can we help you?
Well, let me give some background to my question of, do you agree with trying to keep mortgage debt to about $200,000 to maintain our lifestyle in retirement? I took a new job and we put 35% down on a home in Gold River in December of 2004. I made the mistake of pulling 20% out to put in the market in March of 2007. Mm. I didn't squander it, although that extended the mortgage. We currently have $60,000
in money. What happened? So you took some cash out. You bought the house in 2004, went up in value. You refinanced, took some cash, and took that cash and invested in the stock market. Where are those dollars
That's
now? Because that should be much higher than.
Yeah, if you had held that position.
Well, they kind of went around. I wound up buying first cars for grandkids and a couple of other things. And I mooshed a couple of accounts around, and I changed advisors because one advisor had me in a fixed annuity, which I finally got out of with no surrender charges.
Okay.
I waited long enough.
Okay.
Fixed annuity. How old were you then?
I was 12. No, I was 5 or something like that. Let me continue.
Okay.
We currently have about $60,000 in emergency fund, $198,000 in cash, trust, Roth IRA, and about $2,362,000 in traditional IRAs, which includes my wife's IRA, which is managed by a Hanson McLean advisor.
Okay.
In July of 2019, I plan to retire with a lump sum pension amount of $673,000 from work. And this should bring our total traditional IRA to about $3,035,000.
Okay.
We will receive a total of about a little over $8,000 from employer single life annuities and Social Security if I start drawing in February 2020 at age 66.
Uh-huh.
You know, we'll have to pay extra for Medicare, that income-related monthly adjustment amount, because of our modified adjusted growth. Uh-huh. Our home is worth about $470,000.
And what do you owe on it?
Well, that was my next statement. Encumbered by a $352,000 mortgage, and that's our only debt. We didn't really consider being debt-free because we didn't – I like the house, but we didn't plan on staying in it. So we might have about, say, $250,000 ready cash after selling the house in, say, about March of 2020. Now, we could buy out of state, say, Central Texas for $350,000, which would give a mortgage of about $100,000, something that if I look around here, it's going to cost me $550,000. Now, I work for a large HMO, and if I stay within their service areas, they'll provide me a Medicare Advantage plan for both of us for the rest of life, although they do provide a PPO if we're out of the area. We do have long-term care policies. Now, so a 5% draw would give us maybe $150,000 gross in addition to our Social Security and annuity incomes. And I don't feel a requirement to pass on more than half of this to my stepson and the grandkids.
So back to the original question.
It sounds like you've got your plan in place,
the debt on the house. What if you consider selling the house and moving? What's in the next 2 to 3 years? It's not going to make a big difference one way or the other whether you pay the house off now or not.
Pay it down.
That's exactly right, because in 2016, I had about $160,000 and thought about, because I refied from about 5.25%, mm-hmm. which was the 2007 note, down to 3.6%. I thought about putting that money about it, and I just didn't.
It wouldn't have mattered much one way or the other, quite frankly. So what it would have done is increased your net worth slightly by paying down that mortgage, but you would have cost a liquidity cost associated with that. So the reality is, if you think that you've got this mortgage, right, and you're going to pay it down, listen, what happens is, what's the interest rate on your home? You said it was
3.625.
Okay, so
I'll just 5% tax bracket.
Yeah,
that makes it what, 2%?
The standard deduction's most likely going to affect you this year, so you'll see that. So it's 3.625. I assume the money you said is in the cash accounts is in cash, so it might be earning 1%.
Yeah, not very much.
Okay, let's say it earns 1%. So the difference is, let's say that you took the $200,000 and paid it off, paid down on the mortgage. Then what it would do is the difference between what the cost of money is and what you're actually lending it at is about 2.62%. At $200,000 equals $5,300 a year. So it's costing you $5,300 a year to keep the money in the bank at 1% versus paying down the mortgage. That's the reality of it. That's simple math. There's nothing else there.
You can throw in the tax.
Yeah, but it's
paying tax on the interest.
Yes, you pay tax on the interest, and the standard deduction actually even bolsters my argument as to why you should possibly pay it down. Is it going to make a material difference in your lifetime? No. It's not, but it's $5,000 a year, and it's $5,000 a year.
Unless he thinks he might go find the ideal home and use some of this cash now.
To buy the house.
If the plan is to move out of state.
So what you're giving up is, by paying down the house, you're giving up liquidity, which makes it a little bit more difficult to go and pay cash for a home in mid-Texas. But materially, it's not going to make any difference in your long-term plan. And this is probably very similar to the conversation that you had with an advisor at Hanson McLean, I trust.
Yeah, more so my wife's. I kind of went rogue a little bit.
Okay.
And I'm thinking about joining back with my wife's advisor and moving everything there.
Okay. All right.
That was funny, Don. I appreciate that.
All right. Well, we appreciate the call. Good luck to you.
So, look, as a rule of thumb, what we like to say is get to retirement with no mortgage.
But then we also state
once you're at retirement, then the key is rather than worrying about getting the house paid off, let's structure it so we have the smallest payment as possible so we can maximize cash flow. Those are kind of rules of thumb. And of course, the rules of thumbs, they change sometimes. So sometimes we have people with large mortgage balances at retirement sometimes. And part of it is based upon someone's
what they're trying
to achieve. Cash flow and net worth.
You've got $3 million in an IRA and $8,000 a month in
guaranteed income coming in.
You'll be okay either which way.
That's correct.
And you're just trying to maximize the options there.
I mean, you got a lot of guaranteed monthly income through pension and Social Security and the savings.
So we appreciate the call. Thank you for, thank you for being a client or your wife being a client.
Tell your wife, not you, but your wife.
Appreciate the call.
We'll be right back. This is Hanson McLean. Money Matters. If you want to be part of a program, our contact number is 1-888-2-HANSON, 1-888-2-HANSON. We'll be right back.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson here.
Pat McLean.
You're with us as we're talking financial stuff.
Yeah, welcome back to the second half. And if you missed the first half, you're going to have to go back and listen to the podcast.
Yeah, and our podcast listenership, by the way, grows each and every week.
Yes, we think. That's what they tell us. That's what the stats tell us.
In any case, if you don't get it through podcast yet and you listen to podcasts at all,
listen to podcast.
By the way. We all listened to our first podcast at one point in time, probably within the last 5 years.
Yes.
Right? So we're all relatively new to the podcast thing.
Yes.
And if you've yet to listen to a podcast, we have a little video tutorial on our website that teaches you how do you actually set up the podcast and that sort of thing.
You do. My kids, that's all, when getting in the car, that's all they listen to is podcast. Podcast.
I listened to some with my daughter. I drove my daughter back over the holidays.
Okay.
She lives in Denver, but she got herself a dog.
Okay.
She's in graduate school now.
Okay. What kind of dog? Is it a big dog?
She said it's a lab mix. It's a giant pit bull.
It's
a super sweet dog, but yes, big dog.
Okay, so she can't fly with this dog?
Correct. Right, so I drove her both ways. I flew out to Denver to get in the... It's my 22-year-old daughter. She's 23 old though.
You're highly practical, Scott. I've known you for a lot of years, and you're one of the most practical people.
You don't think it's practical for me to fly to Denver, have my daughter pick me up at the airport and get in her car and drive 16 hours?
I don't think it's practical that your daughter has a dog in grad school.
I didn't have any choice. I didn't get the dog. She gets it, and I find out after the matter. What am I going to do? You've got kids that are young adults.
Yeah.
My wife cried when she got found out she got the dog.
Did she really?
I'm like, well, baby, you realize if we're going to see our daughter again, we're going to have to let this big dog in. Just the way it goes.
Does your wife listen to this radio show? Will she find out that you mentioned that on the air?
I'm not going to mention the fact that when the dog was over and something happened to its tail and it was bleeding on the tail, but a super happy dog and wagging its tail.
Oh, Scott,
but
stop!
That's a whole other matter.
Stop. This is a financial talk show. Okay. We're going to take some let's take some calls. If you'd like to join the show.
We listen to a number of podcasts in between. Oh. For some reason, she's gotten into hip-hop. I don't mind the genre, the style of the music. Some of the lyrics.
Oh, yeah. They swear.
Not just a little.
It's gratuitous.
Yeah, how do you really want to fill your brain with this stuff?
Yeah, it's gratuitous. I don't get it.
Totally. It's silly.
Yes.
Frankly.
Yeah, it's like, does that make you, because you get to use these words in rhyme? Does that make you...
Well, there's a lot of these words you can't... You
Well, you couldn't play them on the radio.
No, and I couldn't say, I couldn't actually state them. I don't know if you can sing along. I mean, I'm a Caucasian guy. Could I sing
oh,
now?
Oh, yeah, you're
There's
not.
A particular word that I can't even.
Yeah.
But anyway, why'd I?
We were talking about podcast, and that's how we
And now I'm frustrated thinking about all the extra work my daughter puts me through.
16 hours of listening to rap music on the way to Denver. That sounds like an incredible Christmas vacation.
F word, every other word.
Yeah, that's gratuitous.
And I'm just trying to be a good dad that and smile is... and not tell her how to live her life. And
yeah. So I left her in Reno.
It's a great city for things. Some will work out well for her in Reno.
And I
a,
said
young,
to...
a cute young woman, sure.
I said
She'll
to
find
her...
something to...
I said to her, daughter, there's nothing wrong with taking a bus from Reno to Denver where you live. It's the window seat to America.
All right, let's get the calls here. 1-888, we find ourselves entertaining. That's the important thing. 1-888-2-HANSON is the number here. 1-888-2-HANSON. We are in the Bay Area talking with Dirk. Dirk, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, thank you, Scott and Pat, for taking my call today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, good. Thanks for joining us.
You bet. Hey, I wound up with an interesting situation. My employer recently switched sort of what they were doing with their 401k. Basically, it used to be set up sort of as a long-term annuity pay-in and figure out your payment schedule once you retire. They moved at the beginning of this year to a more traditional 401k with funds, different ETFs, things like that. Before, because it was an annuity, I wasn't real keen on putting a lot of money into it. So
yep.
I had been doing enough to get the match, the employer match. And then I was funding a Roth IRA with direct contributions up
Great.
To about $15,000 total per year. Now, though, that they've gone to more of a traditional 401k with multiple investment choices, I'm wondering what I should look at doing. You know, should I put more money into the 401k? Should I continue doing what I'm doing instead for the long term? Just sort of looking for some advice there.
What do you have? Well, how old are you?
I'm just turned 50.
And do you plan on staying in California forever?
Pretty much. My wife and I bought a house and sort of one and done. We're hoping to retire in it and, you know, stay pretty much up in the foothills, the mountains.
And right now, if you look at your retirement savings, what percentage is in Roth versus traditional?
Very small amount in Roth right now. I just started the Roth when I started with this company, so it's only been building for 2 years.
And what's your approximate family income?
About $165,000.
Yeah, I'd do the 401k.
And not the Roth at all?
I'd do the 401k to the maximum first, and then I would do the Roth. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, maximize the 401k first.
Yeah, I'd maximize the 401k first and then do the Roth IRA.
But now that it's no longer an annuity type thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounded I couldn't quite understand what you were actually describing there.
I mean, I could imagine if we were having this call 20 years ago, right?
Yes, yeah.
When was the last time you saw a 401k in some sort of...
Oh, like a fixed annuity is what it sounded like. That's what it
That's
sounded
exactly
like.
Some group annuity.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen that. Maybe more than 20 years.
Yeah, it's been a... So if you've got a good 401k with lots of selections and you're over... You're 50, right? Then you could put the maximum in. And the catch-up provision, and I wouldn't worry about the Roth IRA.
And if you wanted to do some Roth, the plan probably has a Roth provision if you wanted to do some portion to a Roth.
And even then, correct. That would make sense.
So that leads me to the next question. Honestly, I wasn't too impressed with the selection. The company I'm now working for is relatively small, so their fees are a bit high, and the selection of investments.
Really?
Really
on a brand new plan? So, you would think it was a great...
Yes. Okay.
I mean, we have a 401k division here. We work a small employer. But it's typically, if the company doesn't want to pay a dime of it, pass it on to the employees. Like that sounds like what your plan's doing. If they want to help cover some of the costs, then even a tiny company can offer a really world-class 401k.
How many employees are in the company approximately?
70.
Yeah, you should have one that, I mean, your fee should be less than 1% all in on a plan
like that.
Yeah, it should write the average.
In any case, so it's not. Is that what you're saying?
I would have to go back and look at it again.
Yeah,
but I believe we're right around there.
So what were you thinking of as an alternative to that? I would still use the 401k over the Roth IRA.
Okay, that was my main question was, do I just contribute enough to get the match and then look for an outside investment?
No.
Start contributing into the 401k more.
Nope, go to the maximum on the 401k, and then once you're done with that, do the Roth IRA. And your portfolio at age 50 should probably be 70 to 75% equities and the rest bonds. And as you move through closer and closer to retirement, you would make it a little bit more conservative.
Yep, that's the plan right now. Right. I figure my retirement horizon, hopefully, next 5 to 10 years, and in about 3 to 5 years, I'll be moving part of that to have enough in like a bond fund for about 3 years, 3 to 4 years worth of retirement.
Perfect.
Income, and then just replenish it as we go along.
Perfect. Yeah. You want to titrate it slowly, and then make sure your plan, if you can get there, is that the house is paid off the day you retire and it looks good to go. So I appreciate the call.
Yeah.
All right. Good
Thank
luck to you,
very
Kirk.
Much.
Yeah. Good luck. Well, appreciate it. 1-888-2 Hansen is the number to be part of the program. Let's talk to James. James, you're with Hansen McLean.
Hi there.
Hi, James.
Nice to speak to both of you.
Thank you.
So I have a little bit, I guess, of a unique situation. I have a number of chronic illnesses that I've had since childhood. I work for a local county government, and what I'm calling about is I'm expecting probably within the next 4 to 6 months a fairly sizable lawsuit settlement. And I'm trying to decide, because of my chronic illnesses and life expectancy, not to be too much of a downer, it's just not great, whether to use that money to pay off the mortgage on my house, or whether anybody thinks it might make sense to invest that. Because when I'm talking about long-term things, that question is very much up in the air.
Got it. Are you married?
I am not.
And any children?
No.
Okay.
And do you have an okay quality of life now? Are there things that you would like that the money will enable you to do that you're not able to do otherwise?
Well, I'm sort of a fanatic about traveling. What makes it difficult for me, and I still do it despite it, is I'm on dialysis 7 days a week. It's a certain type of dialysis. Mm-hmm. So even though I love to travel internationally, it's something I do. But I just noticed my overall health because of that. I've been on dialysis now for about 5 years. I've had a kidney pancreas transplant back in the late 90s, a number of things. I just, traveling and all sorts of energy, and is becoming sort of diminished. But I do work a full-time job 5 days a week.
How much what's the value of the home?
The mortgage that's left on it right now is about $200,000 even.
And what's the value of the home?
About $350,000.
And how much money are you going to get?
In the settlement?
Yeah.
It's a guess at this point, but it probably could be anywhere from $200,000 to $250,000.
Spend it. Just spend it. Seriously, what the hell? Excuse my language. Really? What's the point? What's the point of paying off this house? Right? And do you work for, are you going to receive a pension when you retire?
I am, yes, correct.
You said you worked for, I think you said you worked for the county. And how much will your pension be?
I've done a very poor job of figuring that. I know when I came in full time in 2013, I came in this is the state of California, so I came in the lowest tier possible. I think it's 2% at 62.
But you've only got 5 years of service. So,
correct. That's correct.
My
thinking about about paying off the house is, you know, if I'm going to continue working, and that would just be all, you know, I don't have a lot of debt. I have maybe $5,000 in debt outside of the home. So.
And your thinking is to pay off the house and then use the extra income to travel on?
Well, travel and just, you know, when you don't have that very large mortgage payment every month, it's just sort of, you can have,
James, how old are you?
I'm 53.
53, okay.
Yeah, you know, I can't imagine what it'd be like in your situation. So I think you're very mature with your thinking, which is, look, at your runway to actually enjoy this money isn't super long. You're feeling that already. You can do it two ways. One is you could pay the whole thing off. You can pay nothing off, or you could pay half of it off and have the mortgage company re-amortize the loan so that your house
they'll do that. Yeah.
So their house payments go down.
Right, right. Okay.
Which is probably the direction I would go.
All right. Yeah, I'm just trying to think, you know, I don't know that I want to have all the benefit of just having all the money come to me. I just, you know, I sort of want to be able to set up things for my nieces and nephews and the people that I care about. So,
well, I wouldn't worry too much about them. But that's just me. No, truly, So what happens is, and you've never had $200,000 or $250,000.
I think
in
you're
your
saying that
before.
not because you don't believe that he loves his nieces and nephews. You just don't think that money's going to make that much of that great a benefit in their life. So,
correct.
Yeah, I get that.
Money doesn't necessarily. Money makes things easier,
but not always better.
But not always better, yeah. Right? And
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Money has a tendency to make people more of what they already are.
Correct. Yeah, my thought was to maybe set up investment funds for them so that they're not necessarily able to touch anything until they get much older, so that they can't waste it and, you know, kind of make things a little more secure for them. But
James, here's what I think. When you get the settlement, why don't you, you'll know the amount then. Why don't you call us back at that time and we'll kind of help you map out a strategy.
But my initial reaction is to pay half the mortgage down and reamortize the loan. And the reason is we don't know how you're going to react if you have $100,000 and $200,000 in the bank. And whether you're going to feel like just blowing it or paying down the mortgage or a little of both. So that's when the money's in hand, it will actually become much more real. So give us a call then. So appreciate the call.
I sure will.
All right, James. Yeah, we wish you well.
Thank you very much.
All right.
And Scott, and I'm sure his nieces and nephews are just lovely. I didn't mean to. Yeah, but it's the reality is we see money go to young people often, and
not always a good thing.
Not always a good thing. No. You can see it in your own family with your own kids. If you have more than one child, you can see that they're all a little different.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if you have more than one child. Right.
Although my daughter couldn't save a dime when she was younger, is actually a decent saver now.
You see?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She still lives a little high on.
My kids, what I found out is they're actually all good savers, but they're super good spenders, and they just get it from their mother.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They just know how to work.
The spending or the money?
The money. Oh, they're not a worker.
Yeah.
They never come to me.
Oh, my daughter knows how to work.
Does she know how to get the money out of you?
My wife teased me because my son was is in college, had a semester abroad in Europe, right?
Okay.
Which I feel grateful that I can help support that, frankly, because I went to junior college and I worked my way through. And so I was complaining to my wife, like, how much money it's costing us to have him there. He was in Switzerland, which is part of the Euro, super expensive. And so the next day he calls and he was on a train to Paris.
Of course.
I guess I said, do you need some more money, son? And my wife's like, last night you were complaining about how much money, and then the next day you want to send him some money so he could have.
And did he say he needed more money?
Of course he needed more money.
You asked.
But, fortunately it was just one semester and not a. And he knows that once he graduates, he's on his own.
That's it.
You're out.
not another dime.
That's right. Well, maybe when we go to eat, it's Dutch treat.
Yeah.
That's no offense to the Dutch,
you, by the way. You pick up that bill at the J.J. North's buffet.
And let's continue on here. 1-888-2-HANSON is the contact number here. 1-888-2-HANSON. We're in Sacramento with Nick. Nick, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Awesome. How you doing, Nick?
Not too bad. Just had a quick question. I'm 43, screwed up and didn't start my 401k early enough, but I'm trying to play catch up.
Well, you're not 63 saying that. Yeah. Sometimes we get those calls. So
43 is okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my question is, my buddy was telling me that I should have a Roth IRA along with my 401k. Right now I put, well, when I don't have overtime, I put 6% into my 401k, and when I do overtime, I'll put an additional 4 to 6%. And he's telling me that instead of putting it into the 401k, I should put it into a Roth. So I just wanted your advice on it.
Maybe.
What's your family income, ballpark income?
My ballpark is about $40,000.
He's right.
Yes. Do you have? Let me ask you this: does your 401k offer a Roth provision to it?
Not that I know of. It just has a set plan that I can't change. It's a 2040 plan.
Got it. That's the investment inside of it. So, and by the way, it has more than that available to you.
But that might not be a bad thing for you.
But that isn't necessarily a bad thing. But there, when we talk about a Roth 401k versus a traditional 401k, it's how the dollars are taxed on the way in or not taxed on the way in.
Yeah,
to the plan itself. So you, when we asked the question, you told us what the investment option was inside, one of the investment options inside the plan with, by the way, there's many others.
So with a traditional, with the 401k, with the traditional 401k, which you're taking advantage of, you get a tax deduction on money you put in. So let's say if you're 40,000, let's say you make 40,000 and you put in 2,000 bucks throughout the year, your taxable income is such that it looks like you only made $38,000. So you get that tax deduction going in. It grows tax deferred. But then when you're retired and pull the money out, you pay taxes on it at that time. You have to report it as taxable income. A Roth,
okay.
A Roth, and whether it's a Roth 401k or a Roth IRA, a Roth, you don't get that tax deduction going in. It still grows tax deferred. But as long as you wait until retirement and pull it out at retirement time, it's tax-free at retirement.
So what we want you to do is...
And right now, you're a relatively low income, where your income is...
Correct.
So your tax rate's low.
Which means that you want it to go in on a Roth.
It's the tax deduction probably means nothing to you.
Zero. It has no benefit, but you'll pay taxes, may have to pay taxes on the dollars when they come out of
Here's
the
plan. Why we like the 401k over an IRA, though. It's sucked out of your paycheck before you have a chance to spend it.
And it gets a match.
Yes, and my company matches 100% to the first six, so for me to drop below, that would just be stupid.
So what you want to do is you want to go to the company and ask them, do you have a Roth provision on the 401k?
The majority of 401k plans have that.
Do we have one?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't.
Yes, you did. You used to participate in it until the California increased the tax rates and you were... Just despite California, switch back. I did the same thing.
I forgot about that. Isn't that funny? You make a financial decision on your own behalf. And you... Anyway, so you want to go to your employer.
California, they don't need any more of my money.
That's right. I forgot I did that. You want to go to your employer and ask if they have a Roth provision on their 401k. If they say no, could you say, is it possible that we're going to get a Roth provision soon on the 401k?
It doesn't cost them anything.
It costs them nothing. It's pretty common that most plans add them when the employees request them. It's not uncommon at all. If they say, no, we're not going to put one in, then what you want to do is you want to make your contributions to your 401k.
At the 6%.
To the match. And the remainder you want to put into a Roth IRA. But when you put it into the Roth IRA, we want you to do it on a monthly basis that comes automatically out of your checking account.
But right now he's using it when he has overtime pay.
Oh, got it. Got it. And he seems pretty disciplined in it because he did call a radio show asking how to save more money. So,
I'm very disciplined when it comes to money.
Okay.
Yes.
So then do the Roth IRA. But preferably you would do it in
into a Roth.
In your 401k.
The whole thing in a Roth would be ideal.
In your 401k. All righty?
Okay.
All right.
Thank
you. Nick, remember this. Just stay out of debt. right? As much as you can. Don't live beyond your means.
I have no debt.
And marry money.
I agree with that. I will definitely do it. Thank you, guys.
Definitely do it. Marry money.
Marry money.
Yeah, because that's so common. It's so easy to find.
It is.
Let's see. I want someone beautiful, younger than me, and wealthy. Intelligent, good conversationalist.
Quiet when I want them to be.
Quiet. That's really bad. I want a quiet wife, too. Sounds so bad.
Fortunately, my wife doesn't listen to this show, but my sister-in-law listens to the podcast, so I'll probably get back to her. Probably somehow. Anyway, I've been happily married. Coming up this week.
This week, you're looking at
my 35th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
34, 35. Yeah, one of those two.
I was talking to, so I had a meeting a couple weeks ago.
Should know that, shouldn't I?
I had a meeting with my sister. She owns a restaurant. I said, let me help her out on someone. And one of her husband's family members came over to help. He, 90 years old, just celebrated his 90th birthday.
Okay.
I invited him. We invited him to this meeting because sharp as a tack.
90.
Yeah, he owned a bunch of restaurants and stuff over the years. 90, and has just celebrated his 69th wedding anniversary. And
wow.
I said, what percentage of marriages make it to 69 years? He didn't know, but I'm thinking
it's got to be like 0.0001%,
2%, or
well,
something.
Well, Larry King was married 69 years in a not in a row though.
Larry King to the same woman, not just married 69 years.
Yeah, that's always yeah. That's the little detail.
All right, We've been off track a bit today's show program,
right.
So I hope you enjoyed it nonetheless. On our if you missed one of our workshops the last couple weeks, we're having these workshops again in the Bay Area this coming week. If you happen to live in the Bay Area, we are going to be throughout a number of places in the Bay Area. It's our 7 personal decision points, and of course, if you cannot attend those, we've got some great online tutorials. We've got a learning library on our website. If you just go to HansonMcLean.com on our learning library, you'll see we've got an online tutorial. It's about 30 minutes. That'll kind of, it's an abbreviated version of this that'll help you through. And we also have a bunch of guides. We've got guides on things such as Social Security, on figuring out when to take Social Security, guides on selecting a financial advisor, life in retirement. We've got a number of different guides and online tutorials. And just the way we've been coming to you on the radio and now podcast for the last 20-some-odd years, our educational approach, we do a tremendous amount online as well at our website, HansonMcLean.com. So if you haven't been on there for a while or you're thinking, man, it's 2019, it's time for me to be really serious about getting my retirement in order, we would encourage you to do that. And if you haven't, it also makes sense, this would be a great year to go visit with a financial advisor if you haven't lately. We're out of time. We'll see you next week. This has been Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, a registered investment advisory firm. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor, tax consultant, or estate planning attorney to conduct your own due diligence.